The message today is entitled Anxiety and Worry. The two go sort of hand in hand together, you know. Or we might add anxiety, fear, worry. Somewhere I heard that 95% of the things that we worry about never come true. And I imagine that's a true statement. But if you think about all the things that we worry about, we have anxiety about the economy, you know, will I have a job tomorrow? That's something that we worry about. A child's education, can I afford it? How will I send my child to college? How will I come up with the money to do that? Survival often is something that we worry about. You know, if everything goes belly up, how will I survive? How will I feed myself? How will I feed my family? World condition, what does the future hold? Much to worry about. And then if you're struggling in an area of sin, maybe an addiction or something, hey, that's something we also worry about. How do I overcome this? How will I put this behind me? Safety and protection is something I think we all worry about ourselves, and for children and loved ones, we worry about their safety and their protection because you know the world we live in. It's not the best world to live in. What is the results of anxiety? Well, in Proverbs 12 and verse 25, I'm reading from the God's Word translation. It says a person's anxiety will weigh him down. And that's true, you know, you get weighted down by all the cares, the worries, the fears, the anxieties of living. It says it will weigh him down. But an encouraging word makes him joyful. And so you might say, well, okay, this person who is living in, has a lot of worry and fears, there's something you can do about that. Maybe you can call the person up and encourage them in the right way. The person who worries, the person who has a lot of anxieties. As one minister told the story about maybe your loved one has a appointment with the doctor. He's going to get his heart, maybe where they pump that stuff into your veins to dye to see if your arteries are clogged. And you start thinking, oh no, you know, my loved one is going into the hospital. I hope he'll be okay. You know, I bet his arteries are clogged up. You know, I bet his heart is going to stop. I wonder if he has his will filled out. I wonder. And you start going through all of the negative things that could happen. And you start to build on it, one thing after another. And he asked the question, this minister did. He said, why is it, first of all, why is it so easy to think the negative? But why don't we do the exact opposite and think everything's going to turn out fine. Everything's going to be great. The report's going to come back positive. You're in perfect health. You're going to live another 40 years. But often we don't think like that, do we? Oh, that's good. Mike said he did. But that's great. That's what we're looking for. Now, on my refrigerator, I have these words written because I needed them. And the words are, when you choose to worry, you have chosen not to trust God. When you choose to worry, you have just chosen not to trust God. For me, the challenge was, for me, as my daughter got older, I think the challenge was for me to give her over to a father that was bigger than me, that could take care of. There was a defining moment there. You see, when your children are young, as a father, you provide, you protect, you keep safe. And you have sort of the power to do that when they're young because first of all, they hardly ever get out of your eyesight. You know, you look after them, you care for them. If they go to the restroom, you know, you make sure everything's okay. But as they get older and become adults, a teenager, there is this giving over point to where you say, God, I can no longer do what a father is supposed to do, protect, because they get maturity, they reach maturity, they move out of the home, they go out on their own. And it was tough for me that defining moment where I said, God, it is up to you now. You're a father much greater than anything I could ever be. Your power is beyond anything I could ever have. And there's this giving over. And I think, for me, the question was, can I trust God? Can I trust you, God? And, you know, anxiety and worry, at the heart of the issue is this question. If you struggle with anxiety and worry, at the heart of this issue is this question, can I trust God? Can I trust you to do this, to protect, to keep my children safe, to keep me safe? Can I trust you is at the heart of the matter. Now, you see, you can only answer the question for yourself. Can you trust God? No one can answer that question for you. In other words, because it involves a personal relationship with God, and I don't know what your relationship with God is like. But you can only answer that question for yourself. No one can answer it for you. You see, I can look at myself and I can say, I know I can trust God because I know God, I have a relationship with God, and whether you can trust God depends on your relationship. And all people's relationships are different. There are some people that think they have a relationship with God. There are some people that pretend they have a relationship with God. The depths of those relationships is different with every human being. So it depends on the relationship, whether you can trust God to keep you safe, to protect you, to keep your children safe. Let me ask you this question. Do you trust a stranger? No, no, not really. Can you trust someone you hardly know? Can you trust someone that you've only known for 5 minutes? Can you trust, let's say, a high school friend that you knew in high school but you haven't seen in 40 years? Well, no, you don't know what's happened in those 40 years. They've changed and you can no longer trust them. So you can't really trust a person unless you have a very intimate relationship with that person. And so I've often wondered about, you know, people that sort of have the impression that, well, all that was settled and done long ago. I gave my heart to the Lord 40 years ago, and that's it. But in between those 40 years, there's been no concrete relationship developed. It was just that something's been taken care of long ago. So what I'm trying to say is relationship is critical when it comes to our trust in God, our expectations of God and what He will do for you. What do you expect God to do for you? You know, you need to be able to answer that question. Now, for me, it's been a learning experience, and it's been a learning experience for all of us, that relationship with God. I have learned, and I guess I was baptized in 88, 89, I forget when, but I think it's been 20 years. 88. Okay, someone can tell me. My wife can tell me. I can't remember. But I've learned that God is good all the time. Okay, that's something I put into my memory. I put into my way of reasoning. I've learned that God has always forgiven me. No matter how much repetitive, forward sin I have committed, He's always been gracious and forgiven me. So that goes into the subconscious. I've learned that He never turns His back on His children. I've learned that God is a father. And as a father, I know what I would do to protect, to keep my child safe. I would do everything in my power to protect my own children. And so God comes along and says, look, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, in other words, if you know, with all of your shortcomings and failures and my struggles, if I know how to do good things for my children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? So it's the concept, okay, what can God do for me? He can do a lot. He's all-powerful. He can keep safe. He can protect. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, Philippians 4 and verse 6. And I'm reading from God's Word translation on this point. I sort of skip around here with different translations, but this one sort of hits home more with what I want to cover here. It uses the word worry. It says, Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, never worry about anything. You know, is that a command? Is Lord, are you kidding me? Are you real here? Is that accurate? Never worry about anything. Me? Well, that's what it says. Never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and requests while giving thanks. So this requires a certain attitude. First of all, never worry about anything, but in whatever stirs your emotions when worry comes along, let every situation, let God know what you need. Go to Him, tell Him what you need in prayer, and do it in a grateful, thankful spirit. In other words, God, I'm thankful that you're going to do this for me. I know you're going to do this for me, and I thank you for it. In other words, it requires a certain attitude. Continuing on in verse 7, it says, then God, if you do this, then God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your thoughts and emotions through Jesus Christ. The emotions, and that's often what gives us, you know, the emotion of worry, the emotion of fear, the emotion of anxiety. All of these things that are things that we struggle with. And it says God will give you, you know, the peace of mind that you need. Well, I talked several, I mentioned in a sermon several months ago about the release technique, how that it was very helpful for me to practice this release technique. And it involves a lot of imagery, but when these emotions would come along in my life, whether it was temptation, fear, anxiety, whatever, I would go into this imaginary enclosed room with one window in it, and I would feel the fear, anxiety, whatever emotion you're feeling you want to get rid of. And you go into this room and you feel the feeling and you imagine those feelings just like a window is open. And you got one window in that room. And you imagine all that energy, all of that emotion, all of that fear just going right out that window. It's called the release technique. It's imagery. You imagine this. And how did it work for me? But I've gone a step further in that. Often when these things come my way, these fears, worries, I imagine me giving them to God. Not only releasing them, but saying, God, I can't handle this. You handle this because you're greater. You're more powerful. And you can take this area and work with, you know, whatever I have. Now, why don't we trust God? Well, I think a reason why. If I trust God, suppose He lets me down. I think that's the reason why often we don't trust God enough. In other words, if I trust Him, suppose He lets me down. We don't want to place our trust in God for fear. Notice that word. What's the motivating emotion? For fear that He will let us down. Now, we know what the Bible says about the fearful. Well, they're not going to make it in the kingdom of God. But often we don't want to place our trust in God for fear that He will let us down. Me and Mike has talked about that, about building up our expectations too much. You know, you go to the feast, you go on a vacation, and you build up those expectations that this is going to be wonderful. This is going to be the best feast ever. It's going to be great. And you build it up and you build it up. And then when you go, it's not as great as you thought because you built your expectations up much higher than it could satisfy. And I sometimes think the trust factor, that's the same thing going on in our relationship. In fact, a quote that I found said this. It says, I've decided that the key to happiness is low expectations. Low expectations. But let's think about this. Let's apply this to God. The being that created the earth to travel around the sun at 64,000 miles per hour. The God that from the time you go to sleep until the time that you wake up, you've traveled over 500,000 miles on the spaceship called planet Earth. You know, that's the power. And so I can't put too much expectations in God as far as trust. Is sometimes, you know, we take a chance there, I think, of having these low expectations of what God will do for us. So it comes down to two choices, really. I can live my life with fear and anxiety and worry, thinking one day God will let me down, and when he does, I can say, you see, I knew I couldn't trust God. Bad things happen to all people. That's one way you can live. You can choose to live your life like that. I can live my life with this fear and anxiety and worry, thinking one day God will let me down, and when he does, I can say, you see, I knew he'd let me down, and bad things happen to all people. Or I can release my anxiety and worry and say, I'm going to absolutely place my trust in God, that he will keep me safe, that he'll keep my children safe. And if and when God lets me down, I can deal with it then. But sometimes we almost plan on God letting us down. We plan before it happens. I just know, you know, this worry says, I know it's going to happen. I know something bad is going to happen. I'm banking on it. I'm betting on it. I think it will. Which is more healthier? Well, obviously, the first one is more healthier. In fact, the second one is more healthier. Sorry about that. The second one, you know, the first one, I don't even know if you can have a relationship with God built on the first one, where you go around and say, you know, thinking one day God will let you down. I don't even know if that constitutes a relationship with God or not. Now, sometimes what we deal with is reality and all its ugliness when it comes to trusting God for protection and keeping us safe and keeping your children safe. One year at the Feast of Tabernacles, a horrible thing happened. There was a family traveling to the feast in a van, God's people. And the van wrecked and turned over and caught on fire, and several of the people in that van got killed. And it was really I remember Ron Dart mentioning that at the feast, it happened as they were traveling to the feast. And so it was heart-wrenching to, you know, and we question those things. We say, well, how did that happen? Why did that happen? I don't know the answer. I really do not know why. All I know is, all I can answer for is my personal expectations about what God will do for me. And that's all you can answer for. Some of these things, you have no answers as to why did that happen. But I do know my personal expectations about God and what God will do for me. I know nothing about other people's. I know nothing about your expectations. You know, that's between you and God, what God will do for you, what you expect from God in your relationship. And you know, we all take a risk with our expectations. Suppose you expect something and God lets you down. You know, we all take that risk. But your expectations are critical, I think. Our expectations are critical when it comes to a relationship with God. I heard another story a long time ago, and I just know a little bit about this story, but it's just, I heard it. There was a woman and walking, I think, alone, and an attacker came out to do her harm. And the attacker looked at the woman, and all of a sudden, with an expression of horror and fear, took off running the other way. She wasn't that ugly, believe me. That was not the point. But something happened. You know, the spirit world, God's protection, something happened. He saw something beyond her that scared him half to death. He was going to do her harm, but he saw something and just ran the other way. So, you know, I think of that story, I'd be willing to bet that the woman had a positive, not a negative, expectation about what God would do for her. I'd be willing to bet that she had a very positive expectations about what God would do for her when it comes to keeping her safe and protecting her. And that's what I'm trying to focus on today. What are your expectations of what God will do for you? Do you always go down the channels of worry and the worst case scenario? Your mind just traveling down and down and deeper into the pit of where there are no expectations that God will keep you safe. I want to look at a little story in Numbers 13 and verse 27. Numbers 13 and verse 27. It's about the spies that were told to go check out the land, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Numbers 13 and verse 27. And we're going to skip along and read this story. But I want to look at what were their expectations that they had about God and what God would do for them. Numbers 13 and verse 27. And they told him and said, "We came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Now the spies had been sent in to check out the land. And they come back with this fruit that had to be carried, a cluster of grapes that had to be carried between a staff, between two men, the shoulders of two men. It had to be grapes the size of a baseball, probably. I mean, this is some big stuff. And this is a land flowing with milk and honey. And nevertheless, in verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. In other words, there's a little problem here. You know, yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, it's prosperous and it's great, but we have a problem. The people are strong and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children and Anak there, and the Amalekites, and dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and you know, all the parasites, and they're all of them are there. You know, there. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, question: what was Caleb's expectations of what God would do for them? Yes, absolutely. I mean, forget that there's big people. Forget that there's giants, you know. His expectations was absolutely, this is no problem. We can go. He had the positive expectations of what God would do for them. There was no negative. I don't even know if he thought about it, you know. He just knew, I serve a great God, and God is powerful, and he can... You know, I'm not worried about these giants. I'm not worried about the walled cities. God can take care of us. That was his expectation. But there was a problem. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land, though, which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which came to the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Expectations. You know, we all have giants in our lives. We all see giants in our lives. We all confront them every day. When we took our daughter to college, Charleston, I thought, oh boy, Charleston, big city. I wonder what the crime rate is. And we went to the apartments. Apartments, you know, they're not the best, but they're not the worst. But I started looking around, and I thought, you know, it's sort of dark. You know, at night it has to, I know it's dark here. I mean, it's sort of, you know, buildings here, buildings there, building, you know, it's dark. And we were walking together, all of us, to the grocery store. You can walk to the grocery store. You know, and I saw this truck, a guy in a truck driving by, and he's staring. And he's not staring at me. He's staring at my daughter, you know. And I just look at him and look, and he kept staring and staring. And I'm thinking, Oh boy, he's probably a pervert, you know. And I'm thinking, you want some of this? And I, you know, me, Smith and Wesson, you know. But I'm just kidding. I don't even carry a gun. I have greater expectations of what God can do. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of giants, whether they were literal giants or the giants that you face today. It's all the same. They were all facing the same thing. The question is, what are your expectations of what God will do for you? What were their expectations? Well, the majority, you know, their expectations were God will let us down. The majority of these men that went in there, their expectations were, oh boy, this is bigger than God. God will let us down. And you know, in Numbers 14 and verse 1, notice the attitude. Numbers 14 and verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness. And wherewith has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? You know, in other words, the giants are going to kill, they're going to rape, they're going to murder my family, my children. God's not going to take care of us. Expectations. Were it better for us, were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make us captains and let us return unto Egypt. What were their expectations of what God would do for them? In Numbers 14 and verse 11, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to trust me? I think the King James says, believe me. Notice that. Trust, believe me, believe me, trust me. In spite of all the miraculous signs I have done among them, in spite, and you can go out here today and you can be surrounded by God's creation, the beauty of God's creation, all of the miracles, the signs, the wonders you see every single day. The fact that you get up and breathe, you know, you're able to breathe, your heart beats, and everything, you know, all of the miracles you see every day. And yet, they didn't have the right expectations. Numbers 14 and verse 35, the Lord have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed and they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him and to bring up slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report. The land, evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. An evil report. They brought up an evil report. Now get this. They brought up an evil report in a land flowing with milk and honey. Today, we are living in an evil world. And it's so easy to bring up an evil report. I mean, just watch the news. Ain't it awful? Murder, rape, crime, suicide, terrorism, injustice, the economy. You want to bring up an evil report? You can bring up an evil report 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and twice on Sunday. I mean, it's just, I mean, that's what else are you going to talk about? It's an evil report. If people brought up an evil report 4,000, 3,000, I don't know how many years ago it was, but if they brought up an evil report back then, what about us today? You know, that's like all we got is an evil report. That's all we can focus on is an evil report. You know, when you play the game, ain't it awful? You bring up an evil report. Think about your influence upon other people. Do you leave with them with something to fall back on? Or is it just, you know, it's awful, there's murder, there's rape? Yeah, I agree with that. But do you give them anything else to fall back on? What about your expectations of God? Do you share your expectations of what God will do for you? I mean, yeah, I know it's murder and rape and crime everywhere. But I have a God who is powerful, who will keep me safe. And I know there's terrorism, you know. You know, I haven't flown that much, but when I fly, the thought the plane may blow up never crosses my mind, or there might be a terrorist in there that blow up. I don't even care, really. I mean, it'd probably be a good way to go. It'd be quick anyway, but, you know. But those thoughts never enter my head. Suppose it blows up. Suppose there's a terrorist. I just don't think about stuff like that. Or the economy. Evil report. No, my expectations is that God will take care of me. God will provide. Sam Walton said, high expectations are the key to everything. High expectations are the key to everything. So do you give people your expectations about God? Or is it all just an evil report that you agree with? Life is largely a matter of expectations. Someone said, look and you will find it. What is unsought will go undetected. What are you looking for from God? What we don't seek after will go undetected. Look and you will find it. What is unsought will go undetected. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. What are your expectations of God? What will God do for you? You know, anxiety, in conclusion here, is often fear of what might be. Anxiety is often fear or worry of what might be. Rather than focus on what is real and true, we need to concentrate on what is true and positive. I want to read a familiar verse. It's Philippians 4 and verse 8. You all know it well, and I'm reading from the New International Version here. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What does God have in store for you? I tell you, I think that what God has in store for me is whatever is true, whatever is noble, God has in store for me, whatever is right, God has in store for me, whatever is pure, God has in store for me, whatever is lovely, God has in store for me, and whatever is admirable, and whatever is excellent, God has in store for me. What does God have in store for you? A motivational speaker, Brian Tracy, said this, and I think this is so powerful and fitting here. He said, whatever we expect with confidence becomes our own self-fulfilling prophecy. Whatever we expect with confidence becomes our own self-fulfilling prophecy. You may be creating prophecy in the making by the way you think, your expectations of God. And how much confidence do you have in your evil report? Sometimes you think, oh, evidently people have a lot of confidence in that because that's all I hear about, the evil report. How much confidence do you have in that? What are your expectations of God? And what will God do for you?